nothing too hard for God, y'all. Y'all gonna see more and more miracles. Watch. In this place. Hallelujah. Psalm 50 says you deserve it. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Over here.
Don't move.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now that it's the honor and privilege to bring to you a man of no mean reputation, a true promoter of the gospel, the angel of this house, the friend of the faithful, our leader, our shepherd. Come on, give guys the clan clap as we bring Pastor T.W. Jones. Amen.
Come on, give the Lord some praise. And we give glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. We lift our hands up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's none like you. Lord, you said you looked and you found none greater. So you swore by yourself. God, I thank you for your miracle working power. I thank you for the blood. For if it had not been for the Lord on our side, God, I thank you for everything that you do. So God, anoint this vessel of clay to speak a word. God, a word of healing, a word of deliverance, a word that will lift up the hung down head and mend the broken heart, that your word might be glorified, that your word might be obeyed. Come on, give God some praise all over the building. Come on, give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah. I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him. I love him, I love him, I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. Praise God. Amen. While you're standing, turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, 14th chapter. The second chapter, the 14th verse. Ephesians 2 and 14. Amen. It's an honor to stand before God's people in this place to glorify him in the midst of each and every one of you. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you that have made your way out this morning. Amen. Truly, the weather outside is frightful. Praise Jesus. Amen. But in here, the praise is delightful. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I thank God for each and every one of you, for all the elders in the house, Elder Tate and his wife, Missionary Tate, Elder Sean White and his wife, Amen, Missionary White, and for our associate pastor, amen, Lawrence White, and his wife in her absence, amen. But the devil is a liar. God is a healer and a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Amen. I thank God for all the mothers in Zion, Mother Whitehead, Mother McCullum, amen. Those that are in training, I thank God for you. Amen. I thank God for Elder Clyde Scarborough. Amen. Amen. One of the elder statesmen on our elders list, amen. For truly, God is a blesser and God is a keeper, amen. I've been a little down because I was thinking, man, I can't believe that the enemy attacked the youngest member of my executive board, amen. I think she is. So if I'm wrong, Sister White, amen. You know, and I start thinking how the enemy works. Amen. But the Bible says the wiles of the devil. That's why you have to put on the full armor of God. Amen. Amen. Because he never come like you think he going to come. Amen. But most of all, I honor my wife. Amen. Of 30 years, 7 months tomorrow. Amen. Give her a good God bless you. Amen. Give her a good God bless you. Amen. Let's read this one verse and let's dig in. Let's dig in. I got some teaching to do today. If you would allow me, Ephesians 2 and 14, the Bible says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Please be seated. On your way down, tell somebody, no more walls. Amen. Usually speaking, in the Old Testament, when the Bible mentioned walls, it is speaking of strength and protection. A city without walls was considered weak and vulnerable. But the drawback to having these great walls to protect and to keep the enemy out was they also trapped the city's inhabitants and made them prisoners in their own city. We have much the same thing today, but it is more on a spiritual level. Are you with me? Too many of God's people have erected walls to protect themselves from the enemy. But these walls are not natural, they are spiritual. They are not built with hammer and nails and brick and mortar, but these walls have been built out of ideals, traditions, prejudice, and fear. The middle wall Jesus destroyed was the wall between the Jew and the Gentile. These walls not only keep our enemies out, but they also imprison us. And the worst of all, they keep us from reaching the very ones we're called and sent to reach. So what are you talking about, Pastor Jones? I'm talking about the buildings and the stained glass windows look beautiful. But the greatest mission field on the planet is right outside that door. So no matter how beautiful the sanctuary looks, we're not here to save one another. We're here to equip ourselves to save others. Are you with me? So the wall that you might build can be the very reason you can't reach out. If we can't see it, you know, there's a problem. Walls have a way of obstructing what you can see. Now, there was some new neighbors moved in my neighborhood. They got a wooden fence, you know, one of those privacy fences. And you know, they was having a party. I could hear the party. But the wall prevented me from seeing the party. Are you with me? So walls have a way of that very wall or that very fence that they had built allowed them to have the party, but it didn't allow them to see their neighbor calling the police. Are you with me? I didn't call y'all. But that wall obstructed their vision. Are you with me? And there are walls that save folks' bill that obstruct the pastor's vision. In other words, we ain't never seen it like that, Pastor. We ain't never did it like that. Well, I got it from the Lord. It's supposed to work. But because you ain't seen it, the vision can't go forth. So, most of us have if I can't see it, I can't believe it mentality. The next thing is walls of expression. The wall of traditional service and thinking limits creativity. Pastor, now you know we've been doing it like this a long time. Well, may I submit to you, God does what he does when he does what he does, how he does what he does, when he feel like doing what he do. And if it don't match your program, that don't necessarily mean it ain't God's program. Does that make sense to anybody? Well, let me say this. I've been knowing some of y'all, probably, I'm 54 years. May I submit to you, both mothers have not wore the same hairstyle since I was a little boy. Why? Because hairstyles change. Methods and the way we win souls might change. So don't get messed up in your mind when you see us do things that you ain't normally saw. Don't call me to the office and tell me I done backslid. Because I ain't pouring oil down folks' throat. Help me, Holy Ghost. So walls not only keep the enemy out, but they also imprison us. And the worst of all, they keep us from reaching the very souls that we've been sent to reach. And walls separate, walls divide, and walls limit, and walls isolate, and walls insulate. They limit. So the expression, the wall of tradition, services, and thinking limits creativity. The next thing is walls limit growth. I got a 55-gallon fish tank in my basement. Well, you can put a catfish you caught out in the pond in that thing. And from that day on, it's only going to get as big as the tank allows it to get. Are you with me? So walls will stop the growth. Why? Because it'll stop your creativity. It'll stop your vision, and it'll limit your growth because it's got you boxed in. So God and walls will do something worse than that. You know, just as that fish can only grow to the size and proportion of their limitations of their environment, so will we as individuals and as a corporate body grow or be limited in the growth in proportion to the limitations of our thinking. Why? Because the word said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you don't think you're going to be delivered, don't worry about it. You won't. If you think you ugly, just saying. When I was a kid, I saw a man running around. He was on, every time I saw him on TV, he was telling folks he was the greatest. Now, I wonder who he thought he was. Let me help you. The greatest. Why? Because every time he opened his mouth, he really sure enough believed. And you know what? He even got up talking about, I'm the greatest, after he got beat. Why? Because defeat didn't change his mind on who he believed he was. So the next time he met that guy, guess what happened? As long as you keep focused on God and not your problem. The problem is we allow the walls to limit us, and we feel like the things that we done put up around us. Let me tell you something. You could be sitting right here in church and be lonely because you done built a wall around you. That say, I ain't letting them folks get to me. I ain't going to listen to nothing the pastor got to say. I'm only here because he expect me to be here. I'm only here because if I don't come, they going to call me. I forgot to change my number. But don't allow the enemy to isolate you, because that's what a wall will do. It'll keep people out. When you want to be alone, you build up this wall. Y'all know it. Folks been married, no. You can spot it quick. Wife don't want you coming around. She come in the house, start a fight. Husband don't want you around. He come home arguing about something that happened. He don't even remember the whole story. Let's just make this real here. You can build up a wall that will inhibit progress based on how you feel. Well, may I submit to you, folks that operate off their feelings, something wrong with them. Y'all don't believe that? Anybody in here feeling good right now? Anybody in here feeling bad? Anybody in here feel like a nut? Hey, man, somebody in here don't? Anybody in here ever felt like not going to work? Anybody here ever been fired because their feelings took their job? I'm just trying to make this thing so we get a good understanding. Folks that operate off their feelings is double-minded. Because sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you feel a little crazy. Sometimes you feel filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you feel like you can run through troops, and sometimes you feel like can't nothing stop you. Sometimes you feel like can't nobody turn you around, and sometimes you feel too lazy to come into God's house. I'm going to leave that alone because y'all going to say I'm poking. So they keep people out. And when we want to be alone, we put up walls. And when we don't want to be bothered, we put up walls. And they isolate us. And we can be in a crowd and be all alone. These walls may be invisible, but they are real enough to separate us from everyone. I might can't see the wall, but your actions will make me just walk away. You ever been in that situation? You got some folks that just their aura make you walk the other way. The things they do, how they operate, make you not want to be around them. But may I submit to you that saved folks ain't supposed to have them kind of walls. You're supposed to have a wall that draw people to you. And because the word said that with love and kindness have I drawn thee. You got to be able to make sure that when someone comes around you, they can see the Jesus in you, through you, and coming out of you. Does that make sense to anybody? Are you with me? So the insulate. Walls have a way of insulating. Insulation is to hold in. But your sanctification ain't supposed to just hold Jesus in you. It ain't, you know, they got these new steel cups. I can't remember the name of it. But if you put something cold in there, it stay cold all day long. It's still on the outside. Your hand don't even get cold. But the ice still be in there hours down the road. Not like your traditional thermos. It's different. They done figured out a way to insulate it. Well, when God saved you, he ain't saved you to insulate you from other folks. How do I know that? Because they said Jesus was a friend of the publicans. Watch out. Don't cuss me out after this. And the sinner. Don't get mad at me because I ain't write it. So we're not supposed to be insulated from the outside world like somebody's thermos. You put hot in it, it stay hot. You put cold in it, it stay cold. But we're supposed to be friendly and we're supposed to have hooks. We're supposed to be the kind of person that when you come around us, the Jesus in them, just reach out and hook them. Because folks, you flatter me, it make me feel good. You know, you lie on me, and it might even upset me. But if you do something good for me, I'll never forget you. You know what I'm saying? Somebody can tell you cute one day, and you'll forget that. But when they do something good for you, when they introduce you to somebody that changed your life forever, when they teach you the word of God, and it get down on the inside of us, that's the kind of person God is looking for. He wants to change you. Because let me make this clear to you. If I got a steak and it's tasting bland, A1 in the refrigerator ain't helping me. Are you with me? Seasoning salt in the cabinet ain't gonna help me. And salt and light does no good in here when the dying, when darkness and blandness is out there. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, I don't know. You know, seem like the older I get, my taste buds changing. Stuff I used to like, I don't like no more. And I think that's how the devil gets you. You know, you just steady shaking. Shaking solid. Your blood pressure just steady rising. But let me say this. When you insulate or you're insulated, the salt can't get where it need to be. Are you with me? Makes no sense. Get an LED light and put a black leather lampshade over them. Light can't be, can't, you know, it can't escape blackness.
You know, so if we're salt and we're light, but our lifestyle is like a big leather darkness black hole lampshade, we're not doing the world any good. Are you with me? So the church was never intended to live in an isolated environment. We were never meant to be a private club, a social club for the elite saved. Are you with me? The church has never been a social club for those who have accepted salvation. Y'all know that? That ain't what we supposed to be. We supposed to be a place where folks can come as they are and get yokes destroyed off their life, get problems changed in their life, get healed, delivered, and set free. That's simple. We're not supposed to hold and protect our elite membership. Well, I've been going to that church for 50 years. Well, have you took the church outside of the church sometime in those 50 years? Church is to be the gate to heaven. Folks supposed to be able to come in here and find out how they can get instructions to go from earth to glory. Does that make sense to anybody? The church supposed to be the gates to heaven. Through the church, men and women are to gain entrance to Jesus Christ. We must not allow anything to block the entrance for the kingdom of heaven, the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. Where you get that from, Pastor Jones? Well, the Bible says in the book of Matthew 23 and 13, but woe unto you scribes and hypocrites. No, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. In other words, folks that don't live right, or folks that say one thing and do another thing, you stop other folks from wanting what you got. Because they already got what you got. Don't miss that. When you saying one thing and doing something else, you shut up the door that allows folks entrance into heaven. So he called them Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. You know what the Bible has to say to hypocrites? One word. Y'all know what that word is? The Bible had one thing to say to hypocrites. Guess what it is? Woe. Woe unto you scribes and hypocrites. You shut up the door. So we got to start to watch and understand that our lifestyle has a whole lot to do with other folks' lifestyle. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Anything that restricts, whosoever will, anyone that restricts, whosoever will, Jesus got a problem with you. Whosoever includes who? Soever, right? Whosoever don't have any limitations on it. Somebody hear the word and want it, whosoever. Get out their way. Anything that restricts whosoever will from getting to Jesus through the church is a wall that must be torn down. We dare put bars and restrictions where Jesus has placed an open door. Jesus wants folks to come to him. But you know what? Sometimes the thing about it, we get saved and we get years up the road and we forget where we came from and we get snooty. Y'all know. Look here. There was a lady at work. I did not know that she had a very bad hearing problem. So when I saw her and I'd speak, and she would speak. Well, one morning, I see her, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I walk past, hey, how you doing, Miss so-and-so? And she didn't say nothing. And I walk back past her, said again, hey, how you doing? She ain't say nothing. Well, you know, I got in my feelings. And I happened to see her when wasn't nobody else in the hallway. And I said, look, what kind of extreme snooty have you become? She's looking at me like, what are you talking about, Mr. Jones? Well, this morning I spoke to you twice, and you ignored me. And she pulled her hair back, and she had these flashing things in both ears. She said, I had to turn them off on my way to work so I can meditate on the Lord. And I'm like, what elitist type snootiness? You could have bought me for a quarter. I got in my feelings. Put a wall of feelings all around me. Had a big old thick, how dare you not speak to the man of God? Get out your feelings. Made me want to slap myself. I felt, like I said, you could have bought me for a quarter. And this is how saints have gotten. We've allowed things that may not even been nothing to dictate how we treat folks. Let me say this. You got to understand there's things that come in our lives that really ain't going to be around very long, but while they're irritating you, you make it bigger than it is. You ever had a fly in your car? Huh? Anybody ever had a fly inside their car? Yeah. Well, let me say this. Most flies only live 48 hours. The majority of all flies, they got two good days on this earth. And we can be driving down the street and swinging at the fly and turning around, swatting it, and allow something that ain't even going to be there in 2 days to kill us today. Y'all know that? And there's some stuff that go on in our house, and if we just stay before God and lay it at his feet, some that might be gone in the morning, we'll build up a wall and hold it for years. God done delivered it, but we keep it. Are you with me? It's time to tear walls down. So Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. That means that we gotta understand that the person that you think is nobody, let him come. You know, sometimes I look at the little kids at the school and I take a vested interest in them. Why? Because I live in this city. And the guy said, man, you just talk to them little boys like they somebody. I said, look, man, I see you. You got Wisconsin license plates. It's my window they'll be crawling in if they don't learn how to read right now. It's my house there. It's my window, my car. So I got to treat them just like their last name is Jones. Because I want to make sure they get equipped to feed themselves legally. Are you with me? You got to start treating folks like, because if you witness to them, it could be your house, your auntie, your uncle, your grandmother they robbing. But if you witness to them and love them, it could be your grandmother, your auntie they witnessing to, rather robbing. See, we have to start tearing down walls and see people as witnesses and not as our problem. See people as somebody God sent you to mentor, to pull out the muck and the mire, to take them out of darkness and bring them into the marvelous light. Why? Because God will use you if you let him. Most of us think we done got from point A to point B on our own bootstraps. May I submit to you, God has been directing our path all the way. We build walls to protect ourselves, but when these walls keep us from reaching out to the drug addict, to the prostitute, to the homosexual, to the rich, to the poor, to the black, to the white, to the Hispanic, then those walls are not protecting us, they're killing us. Anytime the wall you build keeps you from doing the will of God, it's not protecting you. And you might say, well, I'm just staying away from the devil. The devil ain't got no power over you. You've been born again, blood washed, washed in the water, filled with the Holy Ghost, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Why in the world would you be scared of the devil? Bible declared, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know why he looked like lightning? Because he got kicked out. That's why it looked like lightning. It happened so quick. That's no other way to explain it. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning. And you know what? That tells me that he was throughout. The same way we do trash. We throw trash out. And it seemed like folks rather have garbage than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the Dead Sea is dead for one reason. Because the Dead Sea don't let anything out. Y'all know that? The Dead Sea, does anything that comes into the Dead Sea stays in the Dead Sea. And it stagnates. And it becomes polluted. And nothing can live in the Dead Sea. Thus, they call it the Dead Sea. But it has no outlet. But if you see a pond, and the pond, nothing can go nowhere, and nothing can get out, then that pond's going to stink within a day or two. But if it's got a way that some water can come in and some water can get out, and if it has a way that there can be some circulation, then you can get some growth. People, stop pinning yourself up, trapping yourself with stuff that you need to let go of. Anything you pull in you that you don't let out of you will eventually die and stagnate and stink. Revelations 5, 9, and 10 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Kings have a whole nother attitude about things. In a kingdom, when the king talk, it happened. Y'all know that? Kingdom-minded people had a mindset that when the king say it, it happens. Because if it don't happen, death happens. Are you with me? I've been to the kingdom of Saudi Arabia 5 times. And one time I'm over there, we all on alert and flying around, and we working these long hours because the vice president, not even the president, but the vice president of the United States was coming. And he was supposed to have a meeting with King Fahd at 9 o'clock. King Fahd called him at 1 p.m. And they asked him why. He said, I don't wear a watch. I'm not a slave to time. I'm the king. When I say come, they come. When I say go, they go. It didn't matter that it was our vice president. Why? Because he was over there in the kingdom. And if you get in your mind that I'm in the kingdom of God, when God say come, you come. And when God say go, devil's got to flee. And ain't no demon in hell can stop God when he decide to do for you. So, the redeeming work of Christ takes every kindred, tongue, and nation. We must not be guilty of allowing walls and our prejudice to keep us from witnessing the different kind of folks. Yeah, I know. Y'all may not think this, but you know about 11 o'clock every Sunday is about the most prejudiced time on earth. The blacks get together. The whites get together. The Latinos get together. And you know, every now and then you got a church sprinkled with a few. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Ain't no sense. ain't no sense, you know. But segregation happens on Sunday. It did not end in the 60s. I'm back. The Bible is not a rich man's Bible. The The Bible is not a black man's Bible. The Bible is not a white man's Bible. The Bible is not a red man's Bible or an educated man's Bible. It's for whosoever will. And you know, we got to come to grips with everybody ain't going to smell like you smell. Everybody ain't going to talk like you talk. Everybody's not going to walk like you walk. Everybody's not going to teach like I teach. Everybody's not going to preach like you preach. But let me say this. It takes all of us to get God's job done. It takes every single one of us. Because if you read in your Bible, he called us to be sheep, right? Well, sheep begat other sheep. I never saw where a shepherd gave birth to a sheep. This thing on. So it requires all of us to build the kingdom of God. So if we do not become a church without walls, a church that gets that's welcoming, a church that's loving, and a church that care about folks and can look past their faults and see their needs, if we can't become a church that can see the hurt and the wounds in folks, and let me say something. All of us wasn't raised with two safe parents. All of us wasn't raised with two parents. All of us wasn't raised with one saved parent. Are you with me? Some of us have been through the valley. And then God snatched us out. There's a whole lot of folks running around looking for their father. Are you with me? When God said, I'm your father. Are you with me? Whole lot of folks looking for a man down here on earth when they don't realize they got the greatest father ever. So we got to start to understand that healing won't begin until we start to love people. We will cease to exist as a lighthouse, or we won't have the saving, healing influence of our community unless we start to reach out and care for folks. Look beyond our house. Our four, us four, and no more. So if you want to be recognized as a church without walls, it's going to start in the inside. You're going to have to try something different. You have to try to love this.